Well, I've had a few band names since Romeo Void.
Well, let's start there.
Yeah, I had Abandon Demand.
Which
is A-B-A-N-D-O-N, Abandon Demand.
Abandon Demand.
The Poor Cousins.
The Poor Cousins. I'm expecting that the Poor Cousins are going to be
It was pretty acoustic.
Now.
Well, not quite, but close.
Yeah, it would have to be, right?
Yeah, and Lower East Venus.
I'm not touching that one. That there's just something about, or the acronym is LEV.
Yeah.
Have you heard LEV? What do you think of LEV? LEV me, and you know the button is LEV me alone.
LEV me alone. That's
LEV
right.
LEV me alone. Or
LEV me or leave me.
That's what I was going. That's where I was going. That is exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
That's funny. Washington State.
Yes, my home state.
Washington State. So, you know, what's pretty interesting, I think, and where I want to take this interview, you know, and I want to take it to today really fast. But so, you know, here I am with people and I say, this is who I'm interviewing. And they of course, immediately tell me they might like me better if we slept together, right?
Mm-hmm, or bought me leather.
Yeah, right. You know, and they go, boom. And I think that what's really important for me, obviously, is not only to go deeper, but to go from whence it came. Because if people just go as I did, I hadn't watched the video since 1493. You know,
right.
and you go and you watch it and you realize that a lot of the things you've done really are a product of who you were very, very early on.
Absolutely.
But it's hard for people to spend the time to get there. So I want to kind of get them there a little bit. So, you know, they probably don't know, you know, that you kind of grew up a little probably differently to a certain extent. Did you not?
Yeah, probably. My mom was a single parent, veterinarian, so very hard worker. Grew up with a lot of babysitters who listened to the radio.
Right.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. Joyce was always my favorite. She had the best radio station on while she was babysitting us. KYNO in Fresno.
So that was the top 40 screamer radio station.
Absolutely.
And they had the jingles, KYNO, bring, and all that stuff,
something
right?
Like that, yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right, everything had a jingle in between it, and all the jocks talked over the intro to the post.
And Wolfman Jack came on.
Wolfman
everything.
Jack was on.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Wolfman Jack.
No, we used to always look forward to it. I forget what night he was on, but we would
listen. He was kind of crazy and evil. He said things on the radio you were not supposed to say.
Yeah, kind of.
There was a lot of innuendo in Wolfman Jack.
Absolutely. We loved
it.
Yeah,
no question about it. But growing up in Fresno.
What I like to say about Fresno is that it's a great place to learn how to entertain yourself. Well, I think I was always the kind of kid who liked to sing to herself, you know, when I was out on the sidewalk or riding my bicycle. We used to make up hand movements to songs. You know, I'm going to knock on your door, ring on your bell.
Right.
You know, and we would do these hand movements that went with everything. My sister was older, 2 years older. So she was listening to December's Children, Rolling Stones. She liked the Stones more than the Beatles, so she influenced me that way. Yes.
I know that 415 Records had this little office in the Mission District.
Couple of different ones. One, it started out in Howie's Flat, really.
Right.
And then it moved to the Firehouse, which was an old converted firehouse. Had no soundproofing from office to office. It was,
in the Mission.
Yeah, it was horrible. And then he moved to another building that was more like a real office.
Got it. But what came out was that he had I hate to use big words, but I will. He had an aesthetic.
Absolutely.
Because the music was, how do I describe it? It's not that it, well, maybe it was. It was kind of dark. You know, if I take Everywhere That I'm Not, right? Mm-hmm. And I put that next to A Girl in Trouble. And they are next to each other in my vinyl collection. They literally are in one place. You know, for my head, it, you know, alphabetical doesn't make any sense to me. What makes sense to me is putting it in places that it makes, you know, it connects.
Right.
So if I take those two bands just as two bands,
right?
There I can find things there that there was an aesthetic that he was looking for. Do you think he was looking for something in particular?
I think he liked things he could sing along to. If you've ever seen him go to a concert, he's bopping and dancing and he knows the words to a lot of your songs and he'll be singing along. Even when we did a show last year in Los Angeles with Translator and Wire Train,
right.
He was in the off out in the audience jumping up and down, singing along with us.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, exactly.
So that's, you know, that was what he was looking for, bands that he could sing along to and bop.
So he, what you're saying is, and this is a good thing in this studio, not in every studio, is he liked hooks.
Yeah, I think he did like a good hook. Although that's kind of weird for Romeo Void because I mean, especially me, I didn't even know really what a hook was.
Right.
I remember when somebody after It's a Condition came out tried to explain to me regular old song structure.
Right.
Because I didn't know what a bridge was. I'm like, well, what is a bridge? You know, and they're like, well, do you know what a chorus is? And I'm like, well, I think so. Is that the part that you repeat? You know, so.
Well, you know, and again, there's knowing and there's not knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can totally, you know, what I mean, the way that the songs start, they don't start typically. They kind of just, they're there. They don't go one, two, three. They go, bam, and you're in it. Am I right that Girl in Trouble hit the top 40?
Absolutely. And I have Casey Kasem reading it. A fan of mine sent me copies of when it was 38 and when it was 32.
Right.
And, oh, it's fantastic. And whenever I make a compilation tape, you know, or CD for anybody these days, I always put that at the top of the CD because I love having that intro of Casey Kasem. And, you know, we were on American Bandstand with Girl
in
Trouble.
Do you have that as an MP3? You should send that to me.
I do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
And the second time we were on, because it went up, you know, he introduced everybody in the band and said everybody's name and everything. So
wow.
They do a little bit more when you know, stay on the charts. But unfortunately, after that, we dropped off the charts. But
yeah,
we were there for a few weeks.
But wouldn't you just like to hear, this is completely off topic, Casey Kasem say, you know, in his little, you know, the dedication thing, you know, little Johnny writes, why would someone like me better if we slept together?
Right.
What this new album was all about for me is I listened to it, and mm-hmm. I listened to it like an album. I didn't say, I'm going to go to track here and see if I... I decided, no. This I have to listen to this like a record. Like a real live...
thank you. I love that.
Like a real live record. And what I got was exactly that. You made a record. You've had a really long time relationship with Peter Dunne.
Uh-huh, yeah.
As your co-songwriter. So tell me what that's all...
Well, it's interesting because in the early 90s, we got together to make money for our former sound man, Louis Beeson, who was also the sound guy at Slim's before he passed away.
Right.
And we were making money for him for treatment for medical condition related to AIDS. And we decided to do a two-night benefit. We played with X or... what was, I guess they were the Knitters at that night. One night it was with the Knitters and one night it was with Chris Isaak. And we made a lot of money for Louis. And when we did that show, we asked Peter to sit in with us because Frank, the bass player from Romeo Void, had been working with him. And so that sort of brought us together, you know, after all those years, you know, since the late 70s, early 80s. And I don't know, it just got intriguing. I went over to his house one Sunday because we talked about, oh, maybe we should try to write a song together, something like that. And I brought, you know, what I usually bring, which is a lot of really random notes, a couple of good phrases, some sort of tempo ideas, maybe a slight melody idea. And we wrote a song. Then it was like, well, let's get together next Sunday. And pretty soon, you know, we wrote Fine Black Dust, which closes the album, during those earliest sessions. And we just liked what we each other brought to it. We are so different. Well, it's kind of funny because Tell Me Why, I wrote kind of, sort of, thinking about the Bush era. You walk away with so much to hide, you know.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then somebody else... The very first thing she said to me about it was, oh, that just describes the last relationship I had.
She had a relationship
with
George?
A man.
Amazing.
With a man, like a romantic relationship. So there's, you know, two different ways.
The interpretation factor.
Absolutely. Peter Dunne is the entire band on the record.
There you go.
He did everything, and he is fantastic. He is a great player. Mostly guitars.
Right.
But he did the programming. He did the keyboards. He did the bass parts. Yeah.
See, I didn't know. It sounded like there could have been
all the music.
Could have been a zillion people on there.
Yeah. After we did some shows last fall, and I got to stand on stage before a packed house at Slim's opening for Wire Train and Translator. And I saw all these fans just like going crazy to see me again and see me singing. I got really energized. We did introduce a new song or two that night. And I could see them already wanting to sing along to the new song that they were just hearing for the first time. And I just, afterwards, I had this resolve. Peter, we're going to work on a record.
So I do believe that there is something going on. Is there not?
At the Art House Gallery and Cultural Center in Berkeley on Shattuck. October 16th, 7 to 10, we're going to do an acoustic performance with Peter and I and my nephew, who plays keyboards and sax, Dakota Ayo. And we're going to have prizes, giveaways. When you pay the entrance at the door, you get a CD, and we'll have T-shirts, and I'm going to give away some of my original art.
Nice.
And I'm doing an art show inside there as well. So
wow. It's going to be a multicultural, multimedia multi-generational, multi-flavored.
Right, because actually that was another
happening.
Thing. That was another thing I noticed at Slim's was people were introducing me to their kids after the show. They're saying, I wanted my kids to see these bands. And so I brought them. Can you meet my son who just got back from his first semester, you know, at college? And I loaded up his iPod with Romeo Void and Translator and Wire Train, you know, and stuff like that. So I met a lot of people's kids. And they were like, it was funny because they're starstruck. And I'm like, I'm looking at them like, you're just like this cute young thing. How can you be starstruck over me? You were asking me earlier, you know, what do I think people are going to do when they listen to this? And I had one fan write into my Facebook page that he listened to it in his car like two times in a row driving to work that week. So the guy's got a long commute. We know that. But it is the kind of thing like he kind of wanted to be immersed in. And I often listen to music exactly the same way, especially whole albums, when I'm driving somewhere and I just want to be taken away and go on a journey and get in touch with personal feelings. Like we have all probably driven down the road and heard a song and wanted to cry because that song brought up a memory of a loss or a time in our life that, you know, we still yearn for. And I know that when some people hear like one Saturday night, that's going to happen to them because that's where it came from for me.
Exactly.
I'm going to walk around with these yearnings, you know, until I die, because when I've been touched, and I can be very open, when I've been touched, it goes all the way.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And it's two of your songs is the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between. And I come right back in here with vinyl and CDs and